start for our big people. I'll start with a question. Have you ever wanted to belong? Have you ever wanted to belong? I think this is a feeling that's common to all of us. There are times, there are places, there are groups of people where we just don't feel like we belong. We just don't fit in. I'm a great example. I'm one of those people, and I tend to make friends very slowly. I don't just jump into a group of people and feel like I can share everything and be there with everyone and be really friendly right away. When you put me in a new situation, when you put me in a new setting, it takes me a while to get to know people well. It takes me a while to start to fit in. I can think back to when I was in school, maybe, and just this past week of school, many of us had our first day of school. Who back there had your first day of school this week? Yeah, a bunch of us. Okay, first day of school. There's some people, when you go back to school on the first day of school in August or maybe September, it was September where I was when I was young, there's some people and it's like as soon as they walk in the door, they're just surrounded by a crowd of people. As soon as they walk in the door that first day of school, they have a posse. They have a whole crew of people surrounding them. They're automatically the center of attention. They always seem like they're at ease. That wasn't me. I was the quiet one. I was the one that I got to know people slowly. And so every school year, I would kind of hit my stride right around November. Around November, because that was when I would have a group of friends finally, a place where I could fit in. I would have a group of people who I knew, people who I could count on. I would have a group of people where I shared the same interests and people I got along with. And until I had that group, well, I didn't totally belong. I didn't totally fit in. And I know that for all of us, there's times and there's places and there's groups of people where we just don't feel like we belong. Maybe it's when you start a new job. Maybe it's when you move to a new town. For that matter, maybe it's when you move to a new country. We've got some people here who've done that. And smaller changes can give you this feeling, too, that you don't belong. Have you ever been promoted within one organization or one team? You're there, you're the same person, you're with all the same people, but suddenly you're working with the same people you used to work with, and now you have this new relationship to figure out because you've been promoted and they haven't. You have a different role, and for a while at least, you don't belong. It can be a very uncomfortable feeling. Sometimes this feeling of not belonging can even just come upon us when we didn't do anything to cause it. Especially as we age, as we get older and we mature, we feel like we're not the ones changing, but then the world around us begins to change. You know I haven't even been around that long, but I already find myself thinking this sometimes. The world isn't the same as it was when I was younger. And listen to me now. I can say, hey, you young people, you're not 10 or 15 years younger than me. And yet, when I look at you guys, you have different attitudes than the people that I grew up with. You have different interests, different ideas, different passions. And I don't think that I've changed, but man, it sure seems like the world has changed around me. And suddenly, I don't totally belong. Have you ever felt that way? Probably. And even though this feeling of not belonging is just that, it's a feeling, I don't want you to just dismiss it. Because it's really easy for us to sometimes say, well, you know, we feel uncomfortable sometimes in relationships. This is just part of life. We have to deal with it because it's not a big deal. It's just a feeling, right? Well, this little feeling of not belonging, and let's be honest, too, that for some people it's not a little feeling but a big feeling of not belonging, even to the point where it can become debilitating. This feeling of not belonging is not meant to be part of our lives. This is not part of God's plan for us. We can look back at the book of Genesis when God created humans back in the very beginning. One of the very first things we see is that the first two humans, Adam and Eve, they belonged with one another. And we can read this story of when God created Eve. God has already made Adam. He's made the world and put him in the Garden of Eden. And now God makes Eve. And we can read that the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother, and he's united to his wife, and they become one flesh." And then, this is kind of the important line, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And you can imagine that scene as Adam and Eve meet, and they're standing before one another, they're standing before God, and they have nothing to hide. They have no shame. They have no secrets to keep. They have nothing to hide about them. That's a picture of belonging. That's a picture of belonging. That's a picture of human relationships as they're meant to be. And even this story, Adam and Eve, they're the first family, really, right? They're the first husband and wife. This story from Genesis is helpful for us today because we see there the one place that most of us go to belong. Most of us go to belong with our family. Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife, like I said, the first family, they belonged with one another, and it was good. There's no place like home for many of us. But it's sad to say that for many of us, not even our families can be a place of belonging. Our families are often broken by divorce. Sometimes our families are damaged by abusive or selfish personalities, by substance abuse. And sometimes even everyone's trying their best. Mom, dad, brothers, and sisters, they're all trying their very best. But then when we struggle with our own significant challenges, our own significant struggles like mental health, or poverty, or sickness, or injury, or sometimes all these things together, it damages us. And so our families, no matter how good or bad they may be, we know that in the end, our families aren't even perfect. And so our families leave scars on us. Our families are sometimes places where we don't even belong there. There's times when we're left out. And so where can we go just to belong? Well, we know that we, as followers of Jesus, we have good news to share in this world where so many people don't belong. We have good news to share with those people who don't belong anywhere else, and that good news is that Jesus created his church to be a family. In fact, a new family for all of us. Jesus has created his church to be the family of God on earth, and Jesus brings us into that family through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus has created his church to be a place of belonging for all people, no matter who you are. Let's take a look at our scripture reading because we see that there. So we'll look at our scripture reading. This portion of scripture comes from the very beginning of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and it begins with Paul's kind of standard introduction. Paul identifies himself as an apostle. That means he's one sent by God to share the good news of Jesus. Paul identifies his audience as God's holy people. And so he's writing this to people who are already in the church. You know, this letter isn't addressed to unbelievers. He's saying, hey, you who are in the church, you're part of the family. This is what that means. And Paul offers then a blessing. It's kind of a standard thing. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins, it's really a paragraph of worship. It's a paragraph of praise. Paul offers praise to God for the spiritual blessings that we receive in Jesus Christ. And I have to pause here for a moment and point out some of these because we're in the middle of this message series where we're talking about sharing the good news. It's all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in different ways. It's the good news in other words. And we're looking at many different ways that the Word of God talks about what Jesus has done for us. And right here in these few verses, we see several different ways to share the good news of Jesus. We can look at verse 4. And there we see that Jesus makes us holy and blameless, Paul says. And to be holy, that means God takes us from being something common and he sets us apart. He makes us special. He makes us different, set apart for a special purpose. To be blameless, that's language of cleansing. So that when we have sinned, when we have done wrong, when we feel dirty, Jesus purifies us. He cleanses us. He makes us clean through his death on the cross and his resurrection. We're no longer defiled, but we now stand blameless before God. We can look at verse 5, where Paul says that God has predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. That's family. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. In verse 7, Paul says we have redemption through Jesus' blood, and that's like marketplace language. God has purchased us with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. It means that we are precious in God's sight, and if you ever doubt that God sees you as precious, well, just take a look at what God paid to get you. In verse 7 also, there's forgiveness of sins. That's the way that we most often talk about Jesus' work for us, that we are sinful people and we are forgiven in Christ. And so in just three different verses there's five different ways to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But let's go back to verse 5 because remember, the problem we're addressing today is the fact that many of us simply have no place to belong. And the good news for us is that when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, Jesus created a family there. Jesus won for us adoption into the family of God. As St. Paul says, he, and that's God the Father, he predestined us. He chose us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And we need to unpack that statement because there is a lot there when we say that God chose us for adoption to sonship. In the language of the New Testament, that's Greek, that phrase adoption to sonship is actually just one word. And that word is, you'll remember this, I'm sure, huiothesia. It's a combination of two other words. One is huios, which means a son, and thesis, which is a position. So it's huiothesia, and it's the position of a son. And this word, huiothesia, it's actually a technical legal term from 2,000 years ago that Paul is using here. And it means you would be placed in the position of a son. It's the term for adoption. It's a legal adoption into the family. And more than that, it implies that the one that's adopted now shares in all the same privileges that a natural born son would have. You're just as good as the rest, in the other word. When we apply it to us, it means that we are adopted. And we now stand before God, we stand in the same place as Christ does, Christ our brother. And so when Paul uses the word here, by the way, his emphasis is on the legal aspect, not the gender aspect. So we can all be adopted as sons of God. This applies to all of us, both men and women. And so God adopts us as his children through his son, Jesus Christ. He makes us part of the family. And the fact that we are children of God, it now means three things for us. Living in the family of God. First, it means that you belong. It means also that you connect. And third, it means that you receive. We're going to talk about each of these briefly. You belong, first off. You're part of the family. And you know, ever since New Testament times, Christians have expressed this by greeting one another, by referring to one another in a special way, kind of peculiar to Christians. When Christians would greet each other, they didn't say, "Hey, Christian," or "Hi, Jesus follower, I see you there." They didn't even say, "Hey, you." When Christians would greet one another from very ancient times, they would say, "Brother or sister." We see this in Scripture. Paul calls the believers the brothers all the time, or the brothers and sisters. And so they would speak this way because they recognized they all had one Father in heaven. They were united through one brother, Jesus Christ. They've been made part of one family, the family of God in Christ. And so take a look at the people around you for just a moment and look around. Like, make eye contact with them, not me. Everyone's still looking at me for a moment. Look at the people around you. And as you look at the people around you, say to yourself, this is not just that guy. This is not just Ed or Bob or whoever. This is my brother in Christ. This is my sister in Christ. And that new relationship between you as brothers and sisters in the family of God in Christ, even if you're looking at your own son or daughter or mom or dad or husband or wife, this new relationship between you as brothers and sisters in the family of God in Christ, that new relationship is greater than anything else that might be between you. It means that you belong in this family because Jesus has put you here. We're all brothers and sisters here. You belong. The fact that you're a child of God in the family of God, it also means that you connect. You connect not just with one another, but you connect with God the Father. Paul uses this same idea of adoption elsewhere in the New Testament. We're going to look at the book of Romans, his letter to the Romans, and Paul says here in chapter 8, he says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I lost my spot. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Same word there in the book of Romans. And by him, that's the Holy Spirit, by him we cry, Abba, Father. And so God tells us that he loves us like a loving father loves his children. That means we have a real connection with God our Father in heaven. We have a real relationship of love and care, just as a good human father cares for his sons. And this is why we pray to God as our Father in the Lord's Prayer. This is the relationship we have, and it's a relationship that no other faith offers, by the way. No other faith offers a personal relationship, a father and child relationship like Christianity teaches because of what Jesus has done for us. And so God has adopted us as sons and daughters of God, and we call out to God just like little children call out to their parents. Just like my son Ben and my daughters, when they cry, they know that mom and dad are there. They know that they're coming for them. And so we call out to God in the same way, knowing that he'll always be there when we call. And as the children of God, we connect with our Father in heaven. And third, as a child of God and the family of God, you receive also. Because part of adoption means that you don't just belong in the family now, but part of adoption means that you now share in the Father's legacy, the family legacy. And what that means for us is that through Jesus, we now inherit all the blessings that God has for his children. If we continue from this passage from Romans chapter 8, the next couple of verses read this way. The next two verses read, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, and now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." And what that means for us is that in Christ, we receive all the blessings that God delivers to his children. Forgiveness, healing, new life, freedom, forgiveness, redemption, all these things and more. You belong to the family of God. You connect with the Father in heaven, and that means this is a place where you receive the blessings that God gives through his son, Jesus Christ. And since we're a family here, well, that means that when we gather together as the people of God, well, it's kind of like when you gather with your own families at home. This means a lot for how we treat one another as brothers and sisters within the family of God. You know, when you gather with your family, think of that stereotypical Thanksgiving meal or Christmas Eve gathering or whatever you do as a family. When you get together as a family, you know, there's some people you know really well. Some families, some parts of families are tremendously close. And maybe there's some others you don't know that well. They're like those cousins you meet once a year. That happens in the church too. And you can just look around. You can say, oh yeah, I know that person really well. They're in my small group or I hang out with them and chat every week at church. And there's some I don't know. And, you know, that's okay. That's how families work. It's always good to get closer together, but that's how families work. Also, when you get together as a family, you know, there's some people who you just love to spend time with. You go to them right away and you spend the whole evening with them. When you get together as a family, well, maybe there's also some people that you just kind of have to put up with too. And that's okay. That's how families work. Because even if you never actually look forward to spending time with them, they're still family, and we're still together. We're bound together by something that our God has done for us. You don't get to choose your family. And so all these kind of family dynamics are present here in the church. There's love, there's challenge, there's living together, there's working together, there's learning to communicate and relate with one another. All of these family dynamics are present right here in the family of God with everything that it implies. You know, sometimes it just feels wonderful to be here. Sometimes it can be a trial, and you've had that experience in churches before. And that's the thing about family, is you don't get to choose your brothers and sisters, but you know it's better when you come together. It's better when you love one another, care for one another as families do. And so what that means for us today is that we embrace everyone here. We embrace everyone who comes our way, no matter who they are, because we're a family, and this family is meant to grow. And so whether you're young or old, whether you're children or parents or grandparents, whether you're single or you're a couple or you have a family, whether you're a widow or a widower, whether you're quiet or loud, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, great family conversations around there, whether you love Ford or you're a Chevy aficionado, whatever it may be, any distinction you can think of, no matter what, we welcome people and we make them part of the family. Because with God as our Father, and Jesus is our Savior, what I can tell you for sure is that in this family, you will always belong. There will always be a place for you in the family of God. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to continue now by confessing what we believe, stating what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed, this ancient creed that's come down to us from the beginning of the church. And today, as we talk about the church as a family, God's people as a family, we're going to think about that third article of the creed when we say that, because that's about the Holy Spirit, and we confess that it really is God's Holy Spirit who works in our lives and works in our hearts to call, gather, enlighten us, and bring us together as the people, as the family of God. And so you'll see the words of confession on the screen, and we will say together, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat.